Hearty welcome to each one of you this morning. To our visitors, may you feel at home as we look into the Word of God, and may our hearts be encouraged and uplifted. This morning I want to talk on a topic of overwhelming to overflowing. So as we look back at our lives, and maybe some of you are there right now, can we say that we've had overwhelming to overflowing areas in our life? And I'm not just talking about finances or material possessions, miracles or blessings, but all aspects of our lives. You know, we live in a society in which people don't just overspend their budgets and overdraw their checking accounts, but they also overbook themselves. They overload their emotions with things that are going on around in the world. Some of us overlook or overwork our bodies. We pack our days with so many things to do, thinking that we're going to get them all done, and then later look back and think to ourselves that there should have been more hours in a day. And in doing so, we overlook in our physical and our emotional health. We're overcome by stress, and we feel overwhelmed by expectations and demands. This morning we're going to briefly look and focus on a man by the name of Elisha who was moved from overflowing or from overwhelming to overflowing in his life. Elisha was a man who ministered primarily in the northern kingdom of Israel from 848 BC to 797. It's about 51 years. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. 2 Kings 2, 1 to 10. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, they came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold you your peace. And Elijah said to him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, they came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold you your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to the view afar off. And the two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, I, thou, see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. We see that Elisha asks for a huge request. And he asked for a double portion of thy spirit to be upon him. We have to remember that the task before Elisha was overwhelming. He had been with Elijah for many years. In 1 Kings 19, the Lord had directed Elijah to anoint Elisha to be his successor. Now, when you think about that, those are some pretty big shoes to fill. You know, Elijah had faced down the prophets of Baal. He raised someone from the dead. He called down fire on his enemies of Israel. And perhaps most significantly, he stood against an absolute corrupt king who was leading a nation away from God. So when we get to 2 Kings chapter 2, we read that the Lord is about to take Elijah to heaven. So you can imagine that Elisha must have been a little bit overwhelmed. Three different times, verse 2, verse 4, and verse 6, Elijah, he tells Elisha to stay where he is at and don't come with me. And three times, Elisha, he gives the same answer. He says, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And obviously, the Lord is near Elisha. And he's leaning on the Lord to help him through what is going to take place. Now, even though we go through situations in life that may seem overwhelming, we are still to trust in the Lord to help us through those situations. We know that we can't do it on our own. Even when we're overwhelmed by our circumstances, we cannot move away from God. I think these three times that Elijah tried to get Elisha to leave him might have been a test. You know, Elisha's been following Elijah for some time now, and he's asking him that he should stay here. And if this is any kind of test, Elisha passes the test. He says, I will not leave you. If we ever want to move from overwhelmed to overflowing, we need to realize that it won't be a move away from God. We might be in a season of life where we're thinking to ourselves, I really don't have time to invest or have a relationship or strengthen my relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're a young person here that is in school and finals are coming up. You don't have time to focus on God. Or there's a big project at work and you're thinking, I don't have time right now, Lord. Or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't have financial resources to tithe because we have a son or daughter that's graduating and college is expensive. Or you're thinking, once I get this bill taken care of, I will tithe. Now, many times it seems that once certain things are taken care of, there is always something else. Now, we need to trust in the Lord Jesus to keep our eyes on Him no matter what challenges we face. And as believers, have we not confessed that Jesus is Lord of our lives? That means he's Lord of our schedules. He's Lord of our bank accounts. He's Lord over absolutely everything. In John 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The word abide means connected. Your translation may say it remains. Verse 6 of that chapter says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. If we're wanting Jesus to bless us, we have to stay close to him like Elisha was to Elijah. We need to have that relationship with him in our hearts. You see, God is glorified when God's children are fruitful. And God will not tell us to be fruitful without supplying what we need in order to bear fruit. Because when we abide in Jesus, we're committed to never leaving his side. And we're committed to seeking his glory and not our own. So whatever we ask needs to align with his desires and not our own. You know, and that helps us better understand the request that Elisha makes to Elijah. Elisha asked for a big request from Elijah. Let there be a double portion of your spirit upon me. Now, this doesn't mean that Elisha was asking to be twice as powerful as Elijah. And although if you count up the amount of number of miracles that God performed through Elisha, compared to Elijah, it was actually twice as many. But Elisha wasn't asking to be twice as powerful. And it doesn't mean that Elisha was asking that his ministry be twice as long as Elijah's. Although it turned out that way as well. Elisha's ministry was 51 years, Elijah's was 27. But Elisha didn't want a double portion of what Elijah had. He wanted a double portion of his spirit. He wanted a greater degree of the inner spirit that motivated Elijah. Now, when you think of that request, we can see why Elisha asked for it. And this was going to help him with the Lord working through him to move him from overwhelmed to overflowing things in his life, which brings me to my next point. And if we're going to move from overwhelmed to overflowing, then we also have to move from comparison to contentment. Elisha wasn't asking to be twice the prophet that Elijah was. It wasn't about comparing his ministry to someone else's. So what about us? If you and I are honest with ourselves, how much of our overwhelming comes from comparing ourselves to others? And that can go in all areas of our lives. Comparing your kids to other people's kids. Comparing the things that you have to what others have. Comparing what you can do to what others can do. But you and I, we need to be content with who God has made us to be in Christ Jesus. Content with what God has blessed us with. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. And Elisha wanted to be more like God. In the way that he saw Elisha being dedicated to God and allowing him to work in and through him. And when you and I focus on what Christ wants us to do, we're not going to get overwhelmed. And I believe that is what Elisha does. As we're going to read our next portion of Scripture, he doesn't focus on the task, but he totally trusts in God in the situations that he faces. Next portion, a few chapters further, 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses there. But first, it's worth pointing out here that Elisha immediately began operating in the power of the Spirit once he took over the mantle from Elijah. And the miracles that God performed through him were for the benefit of other people. They had nothing to do with Elisha himself, but his faith and his trust in the Lord. You know, that by itself is a lesson for each one of us. That when we receive a double portion of God's Spirit, it isn't for our benefit. It is for the benefit of others. And we are blessed to be a blessing. One of the first encounters that Elisha has is with someone who also went from being overwhelmed to overflowing in their lives. And just like we're going to read in chapter 4, Elisha is approached by the wife of one of the prophets that were with him. 2 Kings 4, 1 and 2. It says, Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And a creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. This widow is in dire straits. Her husband has died. There's bills to pay, and the creditor is coming to take her two sons to be slaves until the debt is paid. And this woman tells Elisha that all that she has of any value is a jar of oil. You know, I can't imagine if that was the only thing that I had that was worth any value. And I'm sure it would be easy to complain right here. What would you do? I don't know where things are at in your lives, but maybe you're at that point right now. Maybe your credit cards are maxed out. Maybe you're barely making a mortgage payment. Maybe you've lost your job and you have difficulty finding another. Or maybe you're going through a difficult time or trials in your life and you don't know where to turn. But isn't it interesting that sometimes the last thing that we do is cry out to God? And the absolute last thing that we do is that we admit to our neighbor or our friends or maybe our church family that we need help. But what does this woman do? It says that she cries out to God's prophet, Elisha. And what does the man of God tell her to do? It's probably an answer that she doesn't expect. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. You know, the amazing thing here is that this woman doesn't question Elisha over the instructions that he gave her. And yet it must have not made a bit of sense to this woman. And maybe she's thinking to herself, did Elisha hear me correctly? I didn't tell him that I have so much oil that I will run out of containers. She's probably thinking this is ridiculous. But there's a few things that Elisha says that got my attention. And he said to her, from everywhere and all your neighbors. Not just a couple of neighbors. And then Elisha was also very clear when he said, empty vessels. Was he making sure that there was not a thought of getting full vessels of oil that would cross her mind? And then he finally says, and do not gather just a few. There is nothing that mentions anything what the woman may have thought. And in our feeble minds, I'm sure we have many thoughts that are running through our minds. First of all, it makes no sense. They had only a little bit of oil. Secondly, did those neighbors even wonder why this woman was collecting all these containers? And thirdly, we maybe have this thinking that, I wonder if she was embarrassed collecting all these containers. But obviously, this woman had faith that God was going to do a miracle. Because we read in verse 1 where the woman says to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband who is dead, who you know, feared the Lord." Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and she told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." Your God often begins with what we already have. Moses had a rod in his hand, and God used that to accomplish great things. Peter and his partners, they had fishing nets in their hands, and God used them in Luke 5. In John 6, we read of the lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and the Lord feeds 5,000 people. And here we read that all this widow has is a jar of oil. We've sung the song, "Little is much when God is in it." That is exactly what happens here. Elisha instructed the woman to shut the door so that nobody would see that a miracle was occurring in her house. An amount of oil that she received was limited by the number of vessels that she had that was controlled by her faith. Matthew 9, verse 29, "According to your faith, let it be to you." You know, the woman must have been overwhelmed to see the number of containers that were filled, and then to see that the oil stopped flowing as the last container was full. And when the woman told Elisha this, he says to her, "Go and sell the oil, pay the debt, and there's going to be enough for you to live." But friends, if that isn't overwhelming, I don't know what is. I don't know of all the miracles that God has performed in your life, but he does meet our needs if we trust and obey him. If we give everything to him, he can make it go a long way. Now, when you think of the greatest miracle of all, how Jesus forgave our debt, our sins, by going to the cross, that in itself, when you think of that, is overwhelming. If there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you or haven't accepted you, he's waiting for you to confess your sins and accept him as Lord and Savior. But when you think of Elisha, it didn't cost him anything for God to provide the needed money to pay for this widow. But it costed Jesus Christ his life to be able to forgive our sins. You know, there are times in life we grumble about this or about that, or when things don't go our way. And in order to move from overwhelmed to overflowing, we have to also move from grumbling to gratitude. Philippians 2:14 encourages us to do everything without grumbling or complaining. And instead of stressing about the things that we don't have, we need to express our gratitude for what we do have by being generous with it. Place it in God's hands and watch Him do what He needs to do. Psalm 13, verse 6 says, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. God doesn't cut corners. He blesses us. He deals bountifully with us. And when you and I are rooted in Him and established in Him, then we can overflow with gratitude. One more portion, same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44. And there came a man from Baal-Shalisah and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And the servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, They shall eat, and they shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Here we got this man that brings all this food. We know from verse 38 that there was a famine in the land. So when you think of all the food that was brought to Elisha, one would think that's a pretty generous gift. But what does Elisha say to the man? He says, Give to the people that they may eat. And the servant says, What? That he can't believe it. How can I set this before 100 men? And Elisha says again, Give it to the people that they may eat. Thus says the Lord. When we read that the servant did as Elisha had told him, they all ate. And then it says that they had some left over. Now, just as God did with Elisha in the first story and the widow in the second, God moved the servant from overwhelmed by the need to overflowing with God's blessing. And I believe He wants and He does the same thing in your life. And when you look back in Elisha's time, the people prepared and they consumed their food a day at a time. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray. He says, Give us this day our daily bread. And yet we still do that to this day. To be thankful to the Lord for supplying all our needs. Because we will never know when this might all be taken from us. Never take anything for granted. And totally trust in Him. This morning I ask you, how strong is your faith? Are you totally depending on the Lord, just like Elisha did? May you find great comfort when you're obedient to your Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, Lord, we look at our lives
And sometimes it seems overwhelming. But Father, we also know that you perform many things, many miracles. You answer prayers, Lord, and we feel overwhelmed by your overflowing of grace in our lives. Father, we pray that each one of us would have and would continue to have overflowing times in our lives. Father, we pray that we would be gracious with what you've given us, with how you've blessed us. Father, that it's not about us, but about others. Father, may we focus on others, Lord. Father, we're so grateful that you can do so much with so little that may seem in our eyes. Lord, we thank you for blessing us. Thank you for looking after us. Father, we pray for those that are hurting this morning, Lord. We pray that you would come alongside. You would uphold. Lord, that they would feel your love and your compassion. Father, we pray that your healing hand would be upon Pastor Lloyd. Father, we thank you for the work that you've already done in the healing in his body. Father, we thank you for directing and using doctors and guiding them. Father, we continue to pray for recovery. Lord, we pray for Jane and her children, Lord. Lord, that you would just be there for them, Lord, and that they would sense your peace and your love. Father, we just pray that you would help them to trust totally in you. Father, we thank you that you're the God that knows everything, that all we need to do is come to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to thank you for coming, and may the word of God have been encouragement to each one of you. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thanks again, and you may depart in the peace of the Lord.